This is the Old Mole Variety Hour. We're going to close out today's show with a portion of a workshop from Troublemaker School. That's Labor Notes sponsored Troublemaker School. Once every couple years in Portland, the troublemakers come together to talk about union organizing, how to create greater democracy in our unions, how to put the movement back in the labor movement. And it also often gives an opportunity for community activists and organizers to come together with labor and discuss how we do better with what we have in our cities. So building power in the city was quite an interesting and inspiring workshop. It involved Jovanka Beckel's Richmond Progressive Alliance, that is Richmond, California, their grassroots coalition that organizes around issues important to working people. And they also run candidates in city council. And also Margot Black, who is an organizer and founding member of Portland Tenants United. Gwen Sullivan was the moderator for that. She's with Portland Association of Teachers. This morning, we're going to play the portion that was Margot Black and Portland Tenants United. It's a very nice, inspiring talk about how PTU came together, the kinds of organizing they do, and the successes they've had.
So I'm Margot Black. I was one of the founders of Portland Tenants United, which started in the summer of 2015. Just a group of folks came around the table after kind of getting to know each other really very informally and unintentionally through social media, a few different channels where people were telling their stories about the housing crisis, either in parenting groups where panicked parents were like, I got a no-cause eviction, what does this mean? Or my rent just went up by $300, I can't find anywhere to live. Or in groups that were kind of Facebook groups that were explicitly set up to tell those stories. And people just kept feeling like, what are we going to do? When are we going to do it? How are we going to do it? Who's going to do it? And so we came around the table, really mostly people who had almost no experience organizing. A lot of us have gone to marches before, but we all know there's a whole lot more than that, right? And, we really came together after, through these social media conversations, through a couple in-person events, just really knowing that we weren't alone, knowing that what was happening wasn't normal, wasn't natural, wasn't just. We are in Portland and really in the state in a housing crisis, which is really just to say that a lot of the differences between the renter class and the homeowner class, they've just trickled up and they've started to affect more people. And that is what has turned up the volume. But, if you really start to think about the difference between renter and homeowner, and when the only solution available is to just buy a house, you really kind of recognize the injustice of what conditions we have sort of accepted for the renter class. And really the foundations of that injustice when you think about who the original home and landowners were in this country, right? White men. And so, like I said, we came together really believing that we weren't alone and really refusing to accept that we were powerless. So I've had two no-cause evictions. Most of our most involved organizers have either had no-cause evictions or dramatic rent increases, or faced or feared displacement. And as we, on our own individual journeys, tried to confront that, we were sort of told, don't bother. It's always been this way. Buy a house. Rent control's impossible and doesn't work. And once you get enough people around the table and enough voices, whether it's on the table or the streets or in City Hall, you really aren't willing to believe that you're powerless anymore and that nothing can be done about it. You just recognize that if anything's to be done, it's us. And that was kind of where the conversation sort of shifted. We really just weren't willing to accept the anemic solutions that were available and the idea that there weren't any better solutions out there, that only lawmakers could make the changes and that they weren't going to make the changes. So we also really knew that, when you think about who a renter is, that it's really, actually, how many people in this room rent? Okay, good. So a lot of folks. It's teachers. It's obviously the students in the classroom, their families. It's nurses. It's, every type of worker out there. It's grandparents and it's everybody, right? In Oregon, it's 40% of the population. In Portland, it's 50% and projected to be 60% in the next just a couple years. It really is this population that is very ripe for organizing. And we just realized that not only does sort of every kind of person rent, not just sort of like young vagabond college students, stable housing and having dignity in your housing, knowing that you can live there and put down roots and participate in your community and get to know your neighbors and take care of them and not live in fear of your landlord and live in fear of displacement, you know, get repairs that need to be got done and not live in housing that makes you sick. It connects to every single other issue out there. Like, no matter what issue you care about, if it's a living wage, if it's health, if it's the environment, if it's education, if it's police accountability, if it's the state of national politics, I can put housing stability and security and dignity at kind of the root of that. It's at the bottom of like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And as we kind of ask ourselves, how do we get more people out in the streets? How do we get more people doing work? Ask yourself, how many of those people have enough time left over at the end of the day to do anything? How many of them are working two jobs and then a couple gigs just to pay the rent?
Exactly.
Three of my friends, literally three people yesterday, found out that their landlords are selling their houses. And all of them have children, two of them have children. And they're like, where am I gonna go? How many of your friends who you're wondering, why aren't you out, you know, in the streets fighting? How many of them are dealing with that? What's the cost to society of housing displacement? So, you know, we really see this as a group that once they recognize that they're not alone, once they recognize that the conditions of renting are not like normal and just, they don't have to be that way, and sort of provide some outlets for organizing and then start to deliver change, I see it as strengthening all of the rest of our issues and getting more people out in the streets to fight for everything else as well. So we formed really under the plan of basically using the labor organizing model, this feeling that it's going to take more than just yelling in the streets. We need to have leverage, and we have the leverage of paying rent. And to withhold that looks like a rent strike, but to do that poses significant risks until we, you know, can all stand together. So we really thought, let's go out and, you know, be the tenant version of the labor movement. Very few of us around the table at the time actually had any direct experience with that. We just kind of learned about it in school, and just thought, let's build power and solidarity and start organizing toward a rent strike with direct action as really kind of the foundation. Like, we're not just going to do all of this behind closed doors in suit jackets. We'll build coalitions, and PAT actually was our very first coalition partner, very first union to sign our resolution. We will work within the halls of power with elected leaders, but unapologetically and aggressively and agitationally. We will also, you know, build power on the outside and in the streets and in apartment complexes and in communities and in neighborhoods. We've done marches and demonstrations. We've camped in landlords' front yards and picketed in their neighborhoods and canvassed their neighbors. We really just show up everywhere, and that's been kind of a part, you know, just knowing that every single, no matter who you are, even if you're a homeowner, certainly if you're a teacher, if you're a healthcare worker, you know, you care about this issue. And we've really paved the road by walking it, and I think that some of the kind of beauty of PTU is that we weren't a lot of experienced organizers who had already learned what did and didn't work, and so we kind of just have tried everything and been beautifully successful in a lot of ways. Rather than listening to, well, this is the way you do that, or this won't work, we're just gonna try it anyway. Mm-hmm. And we've done it. In terms of our successes, our biggest success is just raising awareness and shifting the narrative around this, shifting the message away from like just buy a house to why, with that the solution, right? And broadening awareness. We've organized buildings, we've organized a couple buildings. We collectively bargained a rental contract for a 12-unit building with a property management company who said the terms of this are absolutely non-negotiable. They didn't want to let us in the office, they didn't want to schedule the meeting, then they didn't want to let us in the office. We had a few people out in the street holding signs with megaphones, raising the specter of a threat that we would all come in, and then they let us in. Yeah. And then we sat down and said, these are the changes we wanted, and they said, okay. I mean, it wasn't that fast, but it happened. And a number of things that we had asked for that they said, no way, they like pretty much immediately acquiesced. We've had landlords who have acquiesced with their individual tenants after just sort of raising the specter of a PTU demonstration being on their property. And I think that has really been with us being sort of just bold and agitational and unapologetic about it. There's been a lot of demands for us to apologize for various things, and we're like, sorry that you were offended by that. Try being no cause evicted. This is how we are achieving change. Probably our most exciting change or success was the election of Chloe Udaly, Commissioner-elect Chloe Udaly. I'm going to qualify this a little bit by saying we actually at PTU don't endorse candidates, so it wasn't like we ran Chloe, but Chloe was one of the original members. She was on our steering committee and ran on a renter's rights platform, and so a lot of PTU folks came out and canvassed for her and spread the word, and everyone said, and I really mean everyone, that it was sort of cute that she was running, but that she would never win because she was running against an incumbent. And I think incumbents have only been defeated like twice before Chloe. The last time was 24 years ago. She was inexperienced in terms of traditional candidate. She didn't go to like how to run for office school. Steve Novick outspent her by 5-1. You know, she had the support of almost no labor unions. I think CWA endorsed her. I can't think of another union that did. Carpenters did.
Yeah.
And even up till a couple days before the election, people were like, really proud of you for you know, being out there and supporting Chloe and spreading the word. Hope that when she loses, people still remember how meaningful her campaign was and how it's really changed the message on renters' rights. And then Steve Novick conceded 8 minutes after the first ballot drop. Nice. And most of her voters were from East Portland, where, first of all, they're renters, okay? Renters who were given something to believe in. Here was another a candidate who was also a renter, who had lived their struggle and who was from the outside and who was willing to fight for them. And then a month later, or she got into office January 1st, February 2nd, we were in City Hall for the relocation ordinance hearing, which got a unanimous emergency vote, went into effect immediately and retroactively, providing renters facing a more than 10% rent increase or a no-cause eviction relocation allowance from $3,000 to $5,000, $4,500 being the most. And it was so amazing that a month in office, such a meaningful, impactful thing could happen that immediately impacted lives in an incredibly real way. No-cause evictions were rescinded, rent increases were rescinded. Some tenants just got checks, and then they actually had the money that they needed to move, because moving's really expensive. My apartment complex has 300 units. I haven't gotten my rent increase letter yet because I renewed my lease in September, but my neighbor got her rent increase letter in January, and the cheapest choice she had, because you get several different lease options to choose from, the cheapest choice was a $200 rent increase. And for a month-to-month, it would have been a $700 rent increase. And then after the ordinance went through, they sent out a new notice with a zero rent increase.
Yeah!
I mean, I don't know how many of my 300 apartment complexes were in that, but I know it was more than just my neighbor. So it really is people power, and we're really changing the narrative and changing the landscape by being unapologetic and believing that change is possible, and being willing to break the rules that the establishment has arbitrarily laid down for us in terms of how to win an election, how to pass an ordinance, how to demonstrate and not hurt anyone's feelings. We are breaking all the rules and making change.
Yeah. Yeah.